Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good afternoon and welcome to Fade to Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And we're here for our review of Spider-Man Far From Home. This should be the last Marvel movie of the year. And then we'll start seeing some other things. So this one is the continuation after he actually got back from space, like Samuel Jackson said. And it started off, which was really cool, paying homage to the people who died. Like, who was it? Iron Man and Captain America and who else? Black Widow and a couple of people. But they paid homage to them, and then they was like all these people who came back, they're younger, or some of them are older, and different things like that. So it was interesting to start it off. But then it started the story of Spider-Man. But the first thing I wanted to ask, and because me and Alicia was talking about it, what do you think about this Spider-Man? Because this is the third one.
Oh my God, I love this Spider-Man.
Why is that?
Because it was so much fun watching it. It was so much fun. He was younger. It was cute, gawky, nerdy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just so cute. You know, it was like, I don't want to do Spider-Man today. You know, it was just that kind of attitude. I'm on vacation. I don't want to be a superhero. And it was just like, that's what he was saying, but, you know, not saying it in that way.
But you can feel that that's what he wanted, right?
His Arnie's like, here's your little outfit. You know, and he was like, I'm not bringing it. He looked at it like, no, I'm not bringing it. And it was just cool how they did it, because Iron Man had something to do with it. Because basically, you know, Iron Man kept him connected.
Yeah, that was, he wanted him to be his protege.
Yeah,
you know, so as when he was ready to move on, he would have liked to give everything to Peter Parker or Spider-Man. So, yeah, it was like really, really, it was, so if you go to the comics and you really follow the first Spider-Man, Spider-Man was a teenager who got out of high school and started working at the newspaper, which was the Daily Bugle. Mm-hmm. So that's what that was. So majority of the first two Spider-Mans started with him as a teenager getting out and working on his own. So this one is a little different, because this is where the Ultimate Spider-Man, which is another different series, showed him as a really high schooler, really just becoming a teenager into an adult. So what they did, they said, let's try something a little more different and see what that works out. And the way Alicia's, you know, described it, it was, that's what it was. It was a little geeky kid who happens to be a superhero, but he thought he can take time off and be like, well, I'm just not being a superhero this time. I can take some time off and then I'll come back and I'll be a superhero. That's not the way superheroes work. But he didn't realize that. But it was a really good story on top of just the superhero genre, which was like really, really interesting. And his partner or his support from Marvel was Nick Fury. So Samuel Jackson was like the supplemental person within the story to kind of support him out.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson was damn crazy in there. Yeah, it was so funny.
Yeah.
He was so funny. He's like, man, don't be ghosting me. You gonna ghost me, man? And he seen Nick calling him, or he saw the number calling him, and he asked the guy who was Iron Man kind of chauffeur.
Yeah, Happy Hogan.
Happy Hogan. And he was like, he said, they've been calling you. I ain't answering that call.
I'm not like, you gotta answer him. He's like, why? Because he's gonna call me. So.
And it was so cute. It was like, and I love the fact that he was a teenager. Mm-hmm. He acted like a teenager. Everything teenagers do, they do. You know, they don't answer their phone. You know, they're on social media.
You know, they're on social media. They they want to talk to somebody, but they think things is a certain way. But then they kind of like, I like her, but I don't want to talk to her. How do you talk to somebody like that? And it was like really, really cool. And if you would have just had that as a like a kid's movie, it would have still been okay. But this just happened to be a superhero movie on top of that, which made it like way interesting because the plot lines kind of overlapped on each other. But the main premise was, you know, Peter Parker not wanting to be Spider-Man just for a little while. Could I just not be Spider-Man for a little while?
Mm-hmm,
and Nick Fury was like, no, you can't.
Yeah, he should tell him.
And he was like, I don't get it. So that whole dynamic of the movie was really good. The way they wrote that in for you to look at him separately as a child being Spider-Man was like really, really cool. So that portion was well. But then then the new character came in.
What is it, Miss
Mysterio.
Mysterio, yes.
Yeah, Mysterio. This is Jake Gyllenhaal. Which I like him. He's a good actor anyway. Every time
well,
I
he
see
played
him
good
and
he was good in this.
Yeah. But no, he's a good actor anyway. I just like him in so many things because he played like odd type characters and you can see his emotions on his expressions a lot. So you can tell that either things are bothering him or he's kind of confused and he has really a good emotional thing with his looks and all. So he's a really good actor to me. But he played a person called Quentin Beck, who is a superhero called Mysterio. And he was called Mysterio. It wasn't that he was always a superhero. And he said, and here's the other portion that I'm not sure if you caught it, Leisha, but they have alternative Earths.
Yes, I caught it.
So the alternative Earths in the Marvel Cinematic Universe will allow other people who've died to come back. Because they'll just be back from another Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this Earth may not have the X-Men, but the other Earth has. So if you blend them all together, it's not like they were always there. Which makes it really, really interesting. Because then you're saying, wait a minute. The X-Men have always been there? Well, how are you going to be able to say now the X-Men and Avengers together? No, they're from an alternate Earth. But now they're on this Earth. And now they got to work together to do certain things. So he said he was from an alternate Earth.
Right, he did say that.
And in the comic books, Mysterio is that same guy. He's the master of illusions, and he does so many different things. But he's a scientist, and he's really freaking smart. But that's why I don't like in the Marvel Universe, too. They kill off the villains too much, where in the comic books, they don't kill them off. They defeat them, and they go away. And then they'll come back to get revenge, but they learn certain things, and then they'll come back. So you will always see these reoccurring villains that are really, really interesting.
Hmm.
So in this case, you know, spoiler alert, he allegedly dies at the end. So I'm saying allegedly because all you saw him was pass out. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You didn't really see that, oh my God, he's dead. You just see that he was passed out. So those were like really, really interesting. So he created a character, Mysterio, to say there's some characters from an alternate Earth called the Elementals. And they were all the elements of Earth, wind, fire, and water, whatever. And they destroyed the alternate Earth, and then they're coming to destroy this Earth. So he wanted to be able to show Nick Fury and all the other people that he is a known superhero that can do things, but he was a master of illusion. And that whole storyline was just interesting because you actually had someone and things that you thought you saw that really, really wasn't going on.
Yeah, because that was really interesting how they were doing it, how mm-hmm. he had all these people around him that helped him do it.
Who hated Tony Stark.
Right, who hated Tony Stark, yes.
Who hated Tony Stark because he created this, what is it? It's some kind of hologram. So you could see it like it's real. And he created that, and then he fired people because he took all the credit for that, and that's what they said. So all of these people who he kind of messed over got together and became who, yeah, we're going to become a team, and we're going to have you as our leader, you know, Quentin Beck or Jake Gyllenhaal. And it was a really interesting story because you just really thought he was a superhero.
Right.
And everything you saw in that case really made it think that that's what was going on. But in the end, it was about, what's his name? Peter Parker. Well, actually, Happy Hogan giving Peter Parker some glasses that had all the technology that can control Stark Industries.
Right, right.
And he was trying to get that. Quentin Beck was trying to get it from Peter Parker. So all of that was just to be able to say, I want complete control of the Stark Industries technology. So he created all of these illusions that there was things going on the Earth that we'll probably be able to die. So you have to be able to work with me so we can get together. And then he played on his insecurities as a child to say, oh, you listen to me and no, nobody I can sit with understands what I'm going through. And he was playing off him to try to get these glasses that had all of the technology.
Technology, yeah, yeah.
So, but really, really good. It was really good. There's portions in there that he finally got his girlfriend and she already knew he was Spider-Man, and his best friend was supposed to be going out trying to find women, but one little girl, he kind of fell in love with her. And so you see all these little things with the children, like Leisha said.
Yeah, the teenagers were awesome. They were so cute.
And it was enjoyable to see. It wasn't like, oh, come on, are you kidding me? It was enough play on the Marvel Universe and the children aspect that it was a really good balance all the way through. So it kept it interesting all the way through. And the biggest thing that I took away from it was what a big change from the two previous Spider-Mans that made it like once they became adults, they became like responsible and things were darker and all of that. But in this case, this is a child really just saying, I'm just trying to help. Why do I have to be a hero? And it's conflicted because he still wants to be a child.
Yep, he sure does.
But he can't, you know, because the responsibility has been placed on him for that. So, which made it really, really good.
I thought it was awesome. I loved it. I just thought it was so cute. And I just loved the fact that he was just throwing a little temper tantrum here and there.
Yeah.
I just really loved that part. It's like, he's just like, I just want to hang out with my friends. And everything, and he get over there. It was like, the enemy follow him wherever he went, you know, but come to find out, it wasn't like that. It was Manifesto.
Mysterio
was doing all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, so he was making illusions to make him think that all of these things was happening to him. And it was so cool because it made it, as we're looking at it, you didn't know what was true and what wasn't. So every time you saw something, you'd be like, oh, okay. Whoa, that was another illusion. Mm-hmm. And then there's something else. Then it's like, oh, that was more illusion. But then there was a foreshadowing from the beginning when his Aunt May told him, hey, use your Spidey's tinkle.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was funny. You didn't really understand why they were saying that other than it being cute. But in the end, he was able to understand what was an illusion and what wasn't because his Spidey sense was able to know what was real and what wasn't. And he was able to use that to react to what wasn't and what was, which was like really cool because if you paid attention, you saw it coming that he would have had to use it. You just didn't know when he was going to use it. So really good writing on this. Really good writing and really good directing. Special effects was really good on here too. It was very, very good.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't see too many. There wasn't no obvious flaws, put it that way. You see some things that was a little exaggerated, but nothing that would say, oh man, that was pretty lame. You see what they did on that?
Right.
Or wow, that didn't look real. I mean, it's supposed to look real, but you want it to be as real as possible. But anyway.
What you give.
So I really like this. I really thought this was such a good, because I didn't expect this to be that good. I mean, after Endgame and all of that happened from that, I expected this to be something totally different, away from just the normal Marvel Universe stuff. So I have this as an 8.75.
Really?
Yeah.
I got 10.
Yeah, you give 10s for everything.
No, I don't. You know I don't.
Yeah, pretty much.
Though. No, I don't. I love this one. I enjoyed this one. Out of all the other Spider-Mans, this is the best one.
Oh, no. So, yeah. So, I can say I can kind of agree with you. The only other Spider-Man that I really, really liked was the second edition Spider-Man with, I forgot the guy who played that, but when they rebooted it back and he was in, I thought he did a, that was the first one was good. Then the second one was just awful. It was just awful. And it ruined the whole series from that. That's why they didn't really start doing any more. Mm-hmm. That's why they kind of tabled it and said, you know what? This isn't working either. I don't know what we're going to do next. So once they said, well, you can use them so we can make some kind of money. And when they used them, it was kind of like, wow, we actually can make some money off of this.
Yeah, because they made the Spider-Man in the with the other Marvel movies.
Yeah, with the Avengers.
Yeah, made him so much better. He was funny and everybody thought he was cute. And I guess they got a great response from that.
Yeah, so they wanted to try it out. Because Sony didn't want to deal with Disney. But they knew the Marvel was, hey, what we going to do? Do we hold on to Spider-Man? Do we do something like that? Or do we wait until the license is over? And they was like, well, let's just blend some stuff together to see what it looks like. And once they wrote in Spider-Man, they knew that that's what they should be doing. They realized when Disney wrote in Spider-Man, they should keep under the same thing. And it kind of worked out. And now he can go back and forth between whichever, I guess, universe or studio. So it just made it really interesting.
Right, right.
Really, really interesting. But anywho, love this one. Really, really good movie. Must see. Waiting for it to see it again. This isn't one of them that I go back to the theater. Anything that's like 9 and above, I'll go back to the theater. Like John Wick, if I had an opportunity, I'll go back to the theater to see that. Endgame, I would, but it was like 3 hours. So that's a real long movie to go back to see. So, no, I'm not going back to see that. But this one was really good, and I look forward to seeing it again because I just thought it was a really, really good movie. And they did a really good job with it. And I was really overwhelmed because I didn't expect it to be this good either. But anywho, anything else, baby?
Nah, darling.
Thank you very much. It's Fade to Black Cinema. Fade to Black Cinema. This is on every podcast downloads. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Fine Black Woman and Bougie Black Bro, BRO. Twitter as well as Instagram. Go to the Facebook page for Bougie Black Brother as well. But thank you very much for stopping by, and we'll see you next time on Fade to Black Cinema.
Bye.